Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Chaf Zayin. We left off on daf Chaf Vav Amid Beis right after the Mishnah on Chaf Vav Amid Beis, right at the beginning of the Gemara. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. Also, Lezech Nishmas Gavriel Simcha ben Shner Zalman Alevi. Also by Henry Erlinsky, Leil Nishmas, his father, Menachem Yitzchak ben Yaakov Yisrael, who is a Holocaust survivor, whose yahrzeit is Shabbos, may his neshama have an aliyah. Also, in honor of a longtime listener of this Daf Yomi Shir, Michael and Karen Raskis, on their family's aliyah today. Mazel Tov on their aliyah. Also by anonymous friends, in honor of Dr. Ellie Mendelssohn's birthday today and Dr. Eitan Austin's birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday to both doctors. Also by David Keen, Lezech Nishmas, his grandfather, Tzvi ben Shlomo Yaakov, Mr. Henry Krochmal, whose yard site was on the 23rd of Av, and Shem Shav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to discuss eating small amounts of food outside of the sukkah and what exactly to make of the story that the Mishnah tells, which seems to contradict the halacha that the Mishnah had said. And then we're going to have a Mishnah on the top of Amud Aleph where Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham are going to disagree about how many sudos one needs to eat in the sukkah. We're also going to have Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan where the Gemara is going to explain the basis of Machlokes is how to understand Teshvu Ke'en Taduru. The Gemara is also going to explain why it is that the first night of Sukkot may be different than all of the other days of Sukkot in terms of the Chiyav Achila. The Chiyav Achila B'Sukkah, and how it is that if a person misses a meal on the first night of Sukkot, that he could somehow make it up on Yom Tov Ha'achron Shel Chag. How does one go about making it up on a day that anyway you have to have a meal because it's Yontif? Then the Gemara is going to have two questions of Apotropos, of Agrippas to Rabbi Eliezer. And on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about building a Sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Are you allowed to build a Sukkah in middle of Yom Tov? We're also going to talk about the concept of Lachem when it comes to sukkah. Does your sukkah need to belong to you? A sukkah gzula, a sukkah she'ula, can you be yotze with such sukkos? Then at the end of the daf, we're going to talk about Kabbalah's Pnei Rabba Beregel a little bit, very briefly, and the Gemara is going to tell a story about Rabbi Eliezer being asked the question about spreading a cloth on a sukkah to protect from the sun, and his refusal to answer the question directly. Why he refused to answer the question directly, that story is going to take us to the end of the daf, already into tomorrow's daf a little bit. So let's begin again, Chaf Vav Amud Beis, right after the Mishnah. So the Mishnah told us the story that they brought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai a little bit to eat, and Rabbi Gamliel, they brought Shnei Kosvos and a Deli Shalmayim. They brought him two dates and a pitcher of water, and he said, gotta eat it in the sukkah. And when they gave Rabbi Tzaduk less than a kabetza, he took it b'mapa and he ate it outside of the sukkah, and he didn't make a bracha achrona. So says Gemara, Maisa Listar. It seems like a stira from the story to the halacha. First, we said in the halacha that ochlu v'shos narai chutz l'sukkah, that you're allowed to have a snack outside of the sukkah. Then we bring this Maisa that they said helam l'sukkah, you got to bring it into the sukkah with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel, that they said we have to eat in the sukkah. Why would our Mishnah quote a Maisa that soser a previous Mishnah where we said that you're allowed to snack outside of the sukkah? So says Mar Chisuri Machzor V'Halachi Katani. You have to add in an explanatory line in between the two Mishnayos, and that is as follows: that imbala hachmir latzmo machmir v'les be'mishum yuara. That even though there's no requirement to eat a snack in the sukkah, if a person chooses to be machmir in himself, that's perfectly fine. Why wouldn't it be fine? Because generally speaking, it's not always okay to take whatever chumra you want upon yourself. That there is such a concept of yuara, that a person is expressing religious arrogance by acting in such a way, pretending to, you know, it's a stilted religious behavior, acting to someone that he is not. So that's what it's telling us, that it's not a violation of yuara if you insist on eating everything in the sukkah. And that's where our Mishnah comes in. And that's the story that they told them to. They insisted that the water and the dates that it be brought into the sukkah, since since they were being machmir on themselves, and even though it's not halachically required. And when Rabbi Tzaddik was given food that was less than a kibetza, he ate it outside of the sukkah. So says Gemara, ha kibetza by sukkah. Wait, what? That sounds like if it were a kibetza, it would have required a sukkah. But we had a machlokas in yesterday's daf. What's considered an achilas arai? And Rav Yosef says, two or three beitzim is still achilas arai. That's not even achilas keva. And Abaye said, no, one kibetza is achilas arai. But apparently over here, the Mishnah is telling us, Rabbi Tzaddik only was willing to eat it outside of the sukkah because it was pachos mikibetza. But had it been a kibetza, he would have insisted that it go in the sukkah. So that's against both Rav Yosef and Abaye, because both Rav Yosef and Abaye say that a kibetza is only an achilas arai. So says Gemara, no, dilma pachos mikibetza until bracha lo baya. Maybe our diuk about Rabbi Tzaddik from the story is an incorrect diuk. We said three different things that Rabbi Tzaddik did on account of the fact that it was pachas mikbeitza. He didn't eat it in the sukkah. He didn't do netilas yadayim. He didn't make a bracha achrona. But maybe had it been a kibetza, not all three of those things would have changed. Maybe the sukkah thing would have stayed the same. He still would have eaten it outside of the sukkah, but at least then he would have done netilas yadayim. Then he would have said a bracha achrona. Maybe that's the diuk to make from the Mishnah. So you cannot prove against Abaye and Rabbi Yosef from the Mishnah with Rabbi Tzaddik. So it seems very clear though that when it comes to drinking water or these types of things, that it's unnecessary to have it in the sukkah, but it's not a chashash yuhara. And that's what the Rambam paskens, Hilchos Sukkah V'Lulav, Perek Vav, Halacha Vav, that you're allowed to drink water and eat peiros chutz l'sukkah, but if someone wants to be machmir latzmo, not to drink outside of the sukkah, even not to drink water, harezim meshubach, says the Rambam. It's a good thing, because it's not yuhara, so it's a worthwhile chumrah. The Chidah in Birka Yosef, in Simitav Reish Lamites, Sivkat and Vav, says that it's a chumrah yaseira, and you don't have to be machmir not to drink water outside of the sukkah, and that's what they quote from the Minhagim Ariel as well. However, in Mora Be'etzba, the Chidah says that one should be knowing like the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch, that there's room to be machmir on water as well, not la halacha, but that it's a viable chumrah to be machmir not to even drink water outside of the sukkah, and that's certainly the pashtus of the Gemara, and it seems that by many Chasidim they're machmir like that. Certainly by Lubavitchers, they're machmir on not eating anything outside of the sukkah, even if it's raining. That's a separate issue, right? That even though it says that kalapatim and adavra seu nikra hediot, that they insist to eat in the sukkah even if it's raining. But another chumrah they have is that they won't have anything, not even water, outside of the sukkah. And many chassidim have that chumrah. Even those that don't have the unusual practice of staying in the sukkah when it's raining, it might have this practice, which is recorded in Shulchan Aruch, to insist to not even drink water outside of the sukkah. Now, what's the chumrah based on? So it seems to be a machlokas haposkim. In Bikurei Yaakov, in Simin Tafresh Lamates, he says that it's a geder, it's a siyag, that if you're going to drink and eat snacks outside of the sukkah, you're going to come to eat other things outside of the sukkah. So it's a geder and a siyag, that you don't come to eat things that you shouldn't be eating outside of the sukkah, so you shouldn't eat anything outside of the sukkah. Others disagree, though. The Gra in Shnos Eliyahu says a different reason. He says, no, really drinking water in a sukkah is a mitzvah be'etzem, meaning it's inherently valuable. It's a mitzvah inherently. It's just that the chacham were not matriach us to do it. So if a person does it, it's like it's an ena mitzvah of yonsa. He gets credit for doing a mitzvah. Not only a geder, lest you come. No, you're doing a mitzvah by being in the sukkah, by eating in the sukkah, even a snack, by drinking in the sukkah, even water. However, in the Sefer Olas Shmuel, he suggests that that's only if you're not mitztar bedavar. But if a person is, let's say, far away from a sukkah and it's really hot outside and he's feeling dehydrated, he's extremely thirsty, and then he chooses not to drink water in the sukkah, he suggests that that already falls in the category of like eating in the sukkah in the rain. That's called a patam and adavar voseyu is nikra hediot. So it's like this fine line of being machmir not to drink outside of the sukkah, but not creating a sense of being bitzar in doing so. Okay, so says the Mishnah now on top of Chav Zayin Amrav. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Arba Esri Sudas Chayiv Adam Lecha B'Sukkah Achas B'Yom V'Achas matzahs b'layla. The person is supposed to eat 14 meals, according to Rabbi Eliezer, in the sukkah. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to eat 2 meals a day, the same way a person would normally eat 2 meals a day in his house. In the sukkah, there's a chiyuv to eat 2 meals a day. And the chum say, no, there's no set amount of meals that one must eat in the sukkah, except for Yom Tov Rishon Shalchag. That's where you have to eat in the sukkah. But other than that, if you're not hungry, you don't have to eat in the sukkah. Va'odam Rabbi Eliezer, another statement of Rabbi Eliezer, a separate halacha, mishloach le'yom tov rishon yashal le'yom tov achron shulchag. If a person didn't eat in the sukkah on the first night of sukkahs, there's a tashlum, and he can make up for it by eating in the sukkah on the yom tov achron shulchag, which is Shmini Atzeres, where you're potter from sukkah. Certainly in Eretz Yisrael, when we know which day is Shmini Atzeres, you're potter from sukkah, so you can make up for it by having a meal then. The Chum Momrim Einu Davar Tashlumin, and the Chum say, no, there's no Tashlumin, you missed out. Valzeh Ne'amar, that's what the pasuk is referring to when it says Mu'uvas Lo Yuchal Liskon V'Cheson Lo Yuchal Lihimanos, that sometimes you lost out, sometimes there's an opportunity, and the opportunity has passed you by, and there's nothing you can really do about the fact that the opportunity has passed you by. The Pnei Yeshua raises a pretty fundamental question. Pnei Yeshua says, why does Rabbi Lazar require to say how many sudos? He should just say achas biyom, achas b'layla, and we get it. That's 14 sudos, right? It's such an unusual, the first halacha that he says that arba esri sudos chayav halacha b'sukkah achas biyom achas b'layla. I know that there are 7 days of sukkahs. If you tell me achas biyom achas b'layla, that much math I can do to figure out 7 times 2. That's 14 sudos. That much I should be able to figure out. Furthermore, l'chora, it's not true that there are 14 sudos in a Jew's week, because normally there are 15 sudos in a normal week for a Jew, because one of the days is Shabbos, and on Shabbos a person is chayiv to eat shalashudis. So there are 3 sudos on Shabbos, and also shalashudis should if the third suda on Shabbos makes up for one of the 14 sudos, because the poskim say that according to Rabbi Lazar that if you're mashlim yom tov achron you yotzei, so kolshkein if you're mashlim on one of the days of Sukkot, you should be yotzei. So why not say that the tashlumin comes through shalashudis? So the Meiri already asked the kasha about shalashudis. Why don't we say tesvav? Why don't we say 15 sudos? So the Meiri suggests 2 answers. Number one, that we're only counting the number of sudos that you're chayiv to eat midin sukkah, and not the sudos that you're chayiv to eat midin Shabbos. Meaning, let's say you're potter midin sukkah, like it's raining, so you're chayiv, but you still be chayiv midin Shabbos. Or midin Shabbos, all you need to do is eat a kazayis. Midin sukkah, you would need to eat yosem kibetzah. So it could be that there are nafkaminas between what the mechayev of that 15th suda is. So say the 15th suda, there is no mechayev of sukkah. The mechayev is Shabbos. Alternatively, he said, suda shlishis is... does not make 15 sudos during the week, because you don't have dinner that night. Meaning that's suda shlishis. Achas b'yom, achas b'layla. We're assuming that there's a brunch type of meal and a dinner type of meal. You're eating suda shlishis, that's dinner that night. So you're not going to have dinner on Matzah Shabbos. Yeah, there's a din of malav malka. It's not, maybe from malav malka, it's not going to be a real suuda. So it could be that's the 14 sudos. The Magen Avram brings a raya from our Mishnah that you don't need to eat 3 meals on Yom Tov, because otherwise it should have been more su'udos than Rabbi Eliezer is accounting for. But anyway, so says Lord, my time at the Rabbi Eliezer, where does Rabbi Eliezer get this idea that you must have 14 su'udos in the sukkah? Teshvu ke'en taduru, because he darshins teshvu ke'en taduru to mean the following: madira achas biyom achas b'layla, just like it's normal in your house to have 1 meal in the day, 1 meal at night, each and every day. Av sukkah achas biyom achas b'layla, so to the sukkah it becomes obligatory to have 1 meal during the day, 1 meal during the night. Meaning there are 2 ways to look at teshvu ke'en taduru. One way is just very simply to say, I'll treat the sukkah like I treat my house. In my house, when I'm hungry, I eat. When I'm not hungry, I don't eat. So in the sukkah, when I'm hungry, I'll eat. When I'm not hungry, I won't eat. And that's how the Rabbanan understand, which we're about to read. But Rabbi Eliezer understands, no, that whatever I would normally do in my house, whatever a normal person would normally do in their house, becomes a chiyuv to do exactly that in the sukkah. And therefore, since normally a person's schedule will be 2 meals a day in the house, even though he's not obligated to eat 2 meals a day in his house, but that's what he normally does, that becomes obligatory in the sukkah. For Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say, kedira, madira ibay achli ibay lo achil, just like in your house. If you want to eat, you eat. If you don't want to eat, you don't eat. Af sukanami, yibay yachil, yibay lo achil. So sukkah's also, if you want to eat, you eat. If you don't want to eat, then you don't eat. So if you look at Tosos and Dibra Maskel, yibay yachil, so Tosos says, yibay yachil, yibay lo achil, klal, di yachil, chayav lechol besukkah. Meaning it's saying, if you want, you don't have to eat at all. But if you're going to eat, you got to eat in the sukkah. Kedar min el. So says Tosos, wait a second, is this true that other than the first night of Sukkot, if you want, you could just choose not to eat? What about Sudas Yom Tov? Isn't there a chiyuv of having Sudas Yom Tov? And Chatzah Nafkamina, not only in whether you have to force yourself to have a meal, and we're all going to have meals on Yom Tov, so it's not going to really make a difference, you would think, right? But Chatzah Big Nafkamina, what if you forget Yalav Yavo in Sudas Yom Tov? So if it's an obligatory meal, so then you got to repeat benching. And if it's not an obligatory meal, you don't have to repeat benching. So he says, L'fizeh, im tov, lo hiskash liyom tov, birch samazon, according to what our Gemara is saying, that yibayi lo achil, if you want, you can choose not to eat. You forget Yalav Yavo, you don't have to repeat benching. It says in Brachas Memtes that Shabbos Yom Tovim is lo sagi de lo achil, and therefore you do have to repeat benching. Maybe when we say that Yom Tov lo sagi de lo achil, it means the first night of Pesach where you need to have kazayis matzah, and only the first night of Sukkot where you must be eating a meal in the sukkah. Maybe that's the pshat. The Gemara in Beitza tells us, and the Gemara in Pesachim as well, in Daf Samaches, that by Yom Tov, what we're supposed to do, the Pasuk says that it's Yom Tov is supposed to be Lashem, and that it's supposed to be Lachem. So one opinion that we follow is that it's Chetzi Lashem, the Chetzi Lachem, that half of Yom Tov, half of the day should be spent Ba'achila, and the other half in the Beis Medrash. That's Rabbi Yeshua Shita. So he says, yeah, but maybe that's not a real meal. Maybe Bebisru Upiri, where it wouldn't require Birchas Hamazon, and therefore maybe Enochinami, one would not have to repeat benching if you forget Yalav Yavo, says Tosfos, in a Yom Tov meal other than the first night of Pesach, other than the first night of Sukkot. So says Gemara, Ihach, Yafilu Leil Yom Tov Rishon, Nami, if really you have your choice according to the Rabbanan, and Ibai Yachil, Ibai Lo Achil, same should be true on the first night of Sukkot. Why would the first night of Sukkot be any different? Some Rabbi Yochum, Shum Rabbi Shum Ben Yotzadok, Nemer Kan Chamisha Asar, V'Nemer Chamisha Asar B'Chagamatzos, because it says Chamisha Asar by Sukkot, and it says Chamisha Asar by Pesach. So Mala Alon Laila Rishon Chav Mikan Ve'Elach Meshos, just like by the Chiv of Mat. The first night of Pesach, one must eat a kazayis matzah. After that, if you're hungry and you want to eat a bread-like food, you eat matzah. Otherwise, you don't have to eat matzah. So afkan, so too in the sukkah, laila rishon chava mikan ve'elach rishus. Only the first night is a chiyuv, and after that, it's a rishus. V'hasa minolan. How do I know that's true, that laila rishon is chava, and after that is only rishus by matzah? Amakra, be'erev tochlu matzos, hakasav kvar chava. Because the pasuk says, be'erev tochlu matzos, so that's the Torah telling us that it's a chiyuv. The Rishonim raised a question, according to the Rabban, that you're only chayv on Laila Rishon of Sukkot and Pesach. Why is it by Sukkot we say a bracha of Leisha B'Sukkah throughout the entire Yom Tov, whereas Matzah, we only say a bracha on the first night of Yom Tov? Meaning, if we're really comparing the two, and we're saying that, oh, the first night is qualitatively different than the whole rest of Yom Tov, so we should only make a bracha Leisha B'Sukkah on the first night in the Sukkah. So the Baal HaMor famously says that by Pesach, all the other days of Yontif, you don't have to eat matzah. If you want, you could eat other things. As opposed to by a sukkah, you're chayiv to do other things, like sleeping in the sukkah. So you're for sure going to have to use the sukkah throughout the rest of Yom Tov, because it's impossible to go 3 days without sleep. That's what the Gemara tells us in Nedarim. The person takes a neder that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, so it's automatically nullified. So he has to. Therefore, sukkah is going to require a bracha. Other Rishonim suggest matzah is different because eating it on the rest of Yom Tov is not l'shem mitzvah matzah. It's just to be able to satisfy your hunger, because you're not able to use chametz for that purpose. So it's like eating basar behema tahora, because you can't eat basar behema tameya. You don't make a bracha asher kashrut mitzvos v'sanu lechol basar tahora, to eat kosher food. Obviously, you need to eat. So you're not allowed to eat non kosher food. So you need kosher food, but you don't say a birch mitzvah on that. But yeshiva besukkah is not l'tzaruch gufo. It's not something that, it's not a bodily need that you would have to do anyway. So the only reason you're doing it is l'shem mitzvah. I mean, it's obvious that the only reason you're doing it is l'shem mitzvah. and therefore that's why it requires a birchas hamitzvah. So those are the possibilities. Now Tosus points out in Dibra Maskel Teshvu Kein Toduru that toward the end of the Tosus, that maybe we should say, he quotes from Yishami, that maybe Imala Halon Achi Kadis the Matzuk Shu Taiva Afkan Achi Kadis the Sukha Taiva Rabbi Zerubar Imala Achi Yochel Kazayis Dagan Matzah Afkan Achi Yochel Kazayis Dagan Basukha. Then maybe we should take all of the dinim of Matzah and apply them to the first night of Sukkot. Meaning, normally when it comes to eating a Su'udah in the Sukkah, we're going to follow dinim of Sukkot. We're going to follow dinim of Yeshiva Basukha. But maybe because the first night is different, it's derived from Chag HaMatzos, the halachos should be patterned after Chag HaMatzos. Maybe there's a din that by the first night of Sukkot, a person should be nichnas kshu taiva, a person should be hungry when it starts. Just like by Matzah, a person is not supposed to eat too much on Erev Pesach so that he could be hungry. And more critically, for halachic purposes, Tosfos says, the mitzvah of Laila Arishon B'Sukkah, that's different than all the other days of Sukkah, only requires a kazayis. Meaning one could have argued, and some Rishonim do argue, that no, we're saying whatever, just like there's a chiyuv to do the matzah related chiyuvim on the first night of Pesach, take a domino v'uki ba'asra. Take that chiyuv and apply to the first night of Sukkot, but go with Sukkot's gedarim. So in Sukkah, you only eat more than kibetzah in a Sukkah. But that's the definition of su'uda. But we assume the halacha that if, let's say, it's raining on the first night of Sukkot, so the patur of mitzvah from a Sukkah doesn't work for the first night of Sukkot, for that special chiyuv of the gedarim shav that we learned tesvav. It's only going to work for the rest of Sukkot. So if it's raining all night, so what do? You have a kazayas in the sukkah. Why only a kazayis? I think you need to have a kabetz in the sukkah. No, kazayis, because the only mechayiv on that first night is this gezeirah shavah from Chag HaMatzos. And by matzah, it's a kazayis. We're not following the rules that you would have for sukkah. We're following the rules that you would normally have for matzah. V'od amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer then said in our Mishnah that there's tashlumen, that if you didn't eat in the sukkah on the first night, you can make it up on the Leil Yom Tov Achron. So says Gemara v'am Rabbi Eliezer, arba esri sudas chayiv al demechel besukkah, achs v'yom v'achs b'layla. What do you mean you can make it up on the Leil Yom Tov Achron? Didn't Rabbi Eliezer say that you're supposed to have 14 meals in the sukkah, one at night and one by day? So, and since in the last night of sukkahs, you're not on Shemini Atzeres, you're not in the sukkah anyway, and you're not even allowed to be in the sukkah, would be a violation of Bal Tosif to be in the sukkah. How is that a tashlumen? Meaning what you're trying to make up for is the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah. How do you make up for the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah by eating in your house in Shemini Atzeres? How does that make any sense? So Amar Bira, Amar Rabbi Ami, Chazar Bo Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer must have changed his mind and said that there's no kitzvah anymore, and if you want to fast, you can fast, except for Leil Yom Tov Rishon. But he disagrees. He says that there is tashlumin, just like there's tashlumin for karbonos of Yom Rishon, even on Yom Tov Ha'achron. So mashlim b'may. What should you be mashlim with? Ilem berifta. If you're eating bread, to be mashlim to the Yom Ka'achil. How is that a tashlumin? You're anyway going to eat bread on Shemini Atzeres. So why is that tashlumin? Elamai yashlim. Yashlim b'minei targima. No, yashlim must mean that you eat minei targima. What's minei targima? So Rashi says peiros, kisnin, kaflotos, mevushal, and different types of fruits or other cooked foods, but not staples of a meal. It's interesting. You can mashim b'minei and tani nami achi mehishlim minei targima yatsa. That if you're yotze, if you're mashim b'minei targima. So it's interesting. Tosus points out on the very bottom two lines of the page, ve'ein milma mikan sheyo'ilu mini targima lashem shol sudas shel Shabbos. Tosfos says, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, if I could be yotzei with mini targima to be mashlim for sukkahs, maybe I could be yotzei shal shudas with mini targima. The shiny awesome day of feeling me the slip toss a hayom gabe man shubim akum pas va'afilu banu lashosim l'anav kubiperus kudepreaches v'lomani gabe sukkis. No, there's separate din by Shabbos. We learn from the man. The man is in place of the pas of bread, and therefore, since it says hayom three times by the parsha of the man, it's there's no such din of mine targima when it comes to sudos of Shabbos. Shalashudos must be dafka with bread and not with mine targima. So Tosfos seems to be making a big deal out of this. You get the impression that he's arguing with somebody, that someone must have said otherwise. Don't learn from here. Who's talking shalashudos? I wasn't learning anything. No, somebody was. So the Ran in Masechta Shabbos Taf Mem Dal Dalet Amud Aleph B'Dapei Rif, and the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah Maseches Brachos quote Rabbeinu Tzarfas, that that's dafka correct, that they say that you can eat Minei Targima for Su'uda Shlishis. So it's a big machlokas Rishonim. Tosos is not alone. The Rosh agrees with Tosos. Hagos Maimonios agrees with Tosos. Meaning many Rishonim agree with Tosos. So La Halacha Shulchan Aruch writes in Reish Sadial Sif Hey that you should eat dafka pas for Shalosh Shudas. But he says if there's no bread available or you're not able to eat pas for whatever reason, then you could be Yotzei Su'uda Shlishis b'Minei Targima. What is Minei Targima? So the Shulchan Aruch says that's a further machlokas. Some say it's got to be Chameshes Minei Dagan that you have to eat cake or something like that. Others say that even peros yotzei, like that's Shitas Rashi over here, that peros would qualify as mine targima. In the Beresh Chai, he points out, and the Ramam Ipanu also, they point out that al pisod Suda Shlishis is the most important meal of Shabbos, meaning it's the most neglected meal of Shabbos, but al pi Kabbalah apparently it's the most important meal of Shabbos, and it's the ikar of all the meals. So the poskim discuss, if you hold that Yotzei Su'uda Shlishis b'minei Targima, is it dafka the third meal that has to be b'minei Targima? Meaning it would be super convenient in a number of situations. You have a Kiddush in Shul, let's say. So you have the Kiddush in Shul, then you're going to go home. It's an early winter Shabbos. So you're going to go home and you're having company and they're walking from Cedars and it's going to take them 45 minutes. So your meal's not going to start anyway till 1 o'clock. So maybe that could be your Shalosh Shudas. The Kiddush in Shul, you have a little bit of something, a little bit of Minei Targima. So that will be Suda number one is Friday night. Suda number two will be the Kiddush in Shul. Suda number three will be your Shabbos lunch meal. Meaning if you hold that Yotzei with Minei Targima, does it have to be third meal is Minei Targima? Maybe the second meal could be Minei Targima. So Rav Vazner has a tshuva about this in Shevet Alevi, Chelek Aleph Simen Nun Zayin. And he says that it's a davar pashut, that it has to only be the third meal. He says the svar of the Rishonim is that since you already the sort of the shows be more makil by Shalosh Shudas, the Ran and the Rabbeinu Yonah, to be more makil by Shalosh Shudas than we are by the other Shudas of Shabbos, is that since you've already eaten your primary meals of the day, and this is clearly extra, so that's why you could be Yotzei with Minei Targima. But if you haven't yet eaten your primary meals of the day, then you cannot yet be Yotzei with Minei Targima. And it's based on what it says, our Gemara, meaning what's our Gemara learning? That you could be mashlim on Yom Tov Ha'achron Shel Chag with Minei Targima. Why? Because the Gemara said, because what are you going to do? Be mashlim with bread? You're already eating bread anyway. The whole point is that it's an extra. That when can you be yotzei with Minei Targima? When it's obvious that it's an extra. So over here also, only if it's obvious that it's an extra. The Chida writes in the Tshuvas Chaim Sha'al that he says those who eat Sudas Chasan Baboker, Su'uda Kala Bapas, and after Mincha they eat the Iker Suda, that they should say Shavu Brachos by both Su'udos, even according to that day in Evan Ezer, that you don't say Shavu Brachos by Shalosh Shudas. Meaning, if you're turning that into your Iker Su'uda, if you're only having a small meal in the morning, and then so that Shalosh Shudas becomes your Iker Su'uda. Okay, so that's as far as Minei Targima is concerned. So says Gemara, Shal Apotropos Shal Agrippas Hamelech Es Rabbi Eliezer. The Apotropos of Agrippas Hamelech asked Rabbi Eliezer the following: Kigon ani she'eni ragel lechal el Su'uda achas. I typically only eat one meal during the day. I'm a light eater. Do I have to eat two meals a day in the sukkah? Throughout the day, normally you eat one meal, but you're snacking all day long. So you have all these parparos that you have for your own sake. So you can have one extra meal to cover the ribono shalom. Meaning that sometimes a person gets into their eating habits and they don't like to adjust that in any way, even for the sake of a mitzvah. So he says that's not really optional. You have to adjust your eating habits for the sake of a mitzvah. Va'ot shalo, kugon ani, and he says he asks him further. Not talking about if someone's going to be sick or something like that, you know, celiac or whatever. But I'm saying, you know, a person doesn't like to eat bread. I'm on a diet. I don't like to eat bread. But you got to have lecha mishnah. But I'm on a diet. But lecha mishnah, right? So you have to adjust your eating habits sometimes in order to to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Va'od shalu kagon ani sheyesh li shtei nashim. He also asked him. He said, I happen to have two wives, achas b'Tveria va'achas b'Tziporia, and they lived in different cities. V'yesh li shtei sukkos, and therefore I have two sukkos, achas b'Tveria va'achas b'Tziporia. Ma'u she'etzei misukkah l'sukkah ve'efter. Am I allowed to eat in two different sukkos? So can I spend half of Yantuf with one wife, half of Yantuf with the other wife? Amar lo, lo sha'ani omer kol yotzei misukkah l'sukkah batal nitzasso rishona. Wow, another chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer, that you're not allowed to eat in more than one sukkah over the course of the Yantuf of sukkahs. If you leave one sukkah to go to another one, you're mevatal mitzvasa shel rishona, and you lose out l'mafreya on all of the mitzvahs that you did by eating in that first sukkah. That's how Rashi says that means mevatal mitzvasa shel rishona. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Brisa tells us that according to Rabbi Lazar, ein yotzin misukkah l'sukkah ve'ein olsin sukkah b'cholosh al moed. You're not allowed to switch from one sukkah to another sukkah, and we don't make a sukkah on chol moed. V'cham momrim, v'cham disagree on both points. Yotzin misukkah l'sukkah, you don't have to stay in the same sukkah throughout the whole Yom Tov, ve'olsin sukkah b'cholosh al moed, and you're allowed to build a sukkah on chol moed. V'shavin shim nafla shechaz v'bona b'cholosh al moed. Everyone agrees though that if your sukkah fell down, there were high winds or whatever, your sukkah fell down, and then you can for sure put it back up on Chol HaMoed. So my time with the Rabbi Eliezer, where did Rabbi Eliezer get this chiddush from that you're not allowed to go from one sukkah to another sukkah? You need to be in the same sukkah the whole time. Amar Kra, Chag HaSukkos Tasel Cha Shivas Yamin. What does it mean? What's it telling me when it says you have to make a sukkah for 7 days? I say sukkah, haruya l'shiva. It's got to be one sukkah that's ra'ui for all 7 days. V'rabbanan hachi kamarachmana. I say sukkah bichag. And the Rabbanan will say, no, it's telling me that Chag HaSukkos Tasel Cha Shivas Yamin, that on any of those 7 days, you could build yourself a sukkah. And that's perfectly fine to build yourself a sukkah on any of those 7 days. V'shavin, and then everyone agrees, we said, Shibna, that falls down, you can rebuild it on Chol HaMoed. Pshita, isn't that obvious that you can rebuild it on Chol HaMoed? Why wouldn't you be able to rebuild it on Chol HaMoed? So I might think that according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's a waste of time to rebuild it on Chol HaMoed, because you're not going to be Yotzei anyway, because it's a new sukkah if you're rebuilding it. What makes it a sukkah? It's when you're rebuilding it, it's not considered the same sukkah anymore. So Kamash Mulan, that when you rebuild it, it's still considered the same sukkah. What exactly are the gedarim of that? That when you rebuild it, it's considered the same sukkah. Meaning, does that mean that if, let's say, you rebuild it and the wall that used to be here is over there, and what used to be the schach is now a wall? And so that's a question. What exactly it means to rebuild a sukkah on Chol HaMoed? But at least if you rebuild it the same way, then the Gemara is telling us that it's considered the same sukkah. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Amar, Kshem Shein Adam Yotzei Yidei Chavasa B'Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag B'Lulavu Shel Chaveiro. Rabbi Elazar is not finished telling us chidushim. Rabbi Elazar says another chidush, that just like a person cannot be Yotzei on the first day of Yom Tov using someone else's lulav, Tichsiv V'Lkachtem Lachem B'Yom Rishon Priyei Tzadik Kabbas Tomorrow, that Mishalachem, the Pasuk Davka says L'Kachtem Lachem, so we see it has to belong to you. Your lulav needs to belong to you. Kachin Adam Yotzei Yidei Chavasa B'Sukaso Shel Chaveiro Tichsiv Chakasukos Tasa L'cha, Shivas Yavim, Mishalcha. So too, your sukkah must belong to you. So v'cham amr afal b'shamre enod miyosi dechavas b'yom tov rishon b'lulava shal chavero aval yotzei dechavas b'sukasso shal chavero. The Chacham disagree, and the Chacham say, while it's true that you cannot be yotzei with someone else's lulav on the first day of Yom Tov, but you can certainly be yotzei with someone else's sukkah. D'chsiv, kol ezach b'yisrael yeshu b'sukos. Melamit shkol yisrael ru'uyim leishe b'sukah achas. It says that kol ezach Yisrael sit in sukkos, which makes it sound like all of Klal Yisrael technically could live in one sukkah. Well, that must be that some people are eating in somebody else's sukkah. How do I know that? Just because they're all sitting in the same sukkah, maybe it's a big shutfus that everybody owns it together. So Rashi writes, no, it can't be that it's a shutfus, because then each one is going to own pachos mishava pruta of it, and it's not going to be lechem anyway. It's only lechem if you own a shava pruta worth of it. So the only way to have ownership of a shava pruta of it is if not every Jew owns it, but every Jew sitting in there. So it must be that some Jews are sitting in somebody else's sukkah, and that's still going to be valid. That's how Rashi explains. Tosa says, Al chinam dachak. Rashi doesn't need to say that. Dekivin dekas of l'cha, l'me'ute deshut fin mashma. That once it says, chakasut sas l'cha, that's it. That tells you that it's got to be your pores and not shutfin. And that's where Rabbi Eliezer really gets it from. Rabbanan, hay l'cha may darshi be. What did the Rabbanan do with the word l'cha? So mibayle l'muta gzula. Not to tell me that you're not allowed to sit in somebody else's sukkah, but to tell me that you're not allowed to sit in a stolen sukkah. Avul sh'ula k'siv kala ezrach. But for a sukkah sh'ula, Pasuk says kala ezrach. The whole Jewish people are allowed to sit in the same sukkah, and therefore it's perfectly fine. For Rabbi Eliezer, hay kala ezrach may avadei. What does Rabbi Eliezer do with kala ezrach? Meaning, after all, Rabbi Eliezer is saying you're not allowed to sit in somebody else's sukkah, but the Pasuk says that the whole Jewish people could sit in the same sukkah. No, mibayle l'gershin is gayer ben atayim, v'katan shen is gadel ben atayim. No, what we learn from kala ezrach is that if a ger became had his gerus on chalamoed, or a katan had a bar mitzvah on chalamoed, so the kol tells me that you can make a sukkah b'chol shalmoed, as opposed to if you're mechuyev beforehand. Rabbi Eliezer said enos in sukkah b'chol shalmoed, so it's kala ezrach is to tell me an exception, that if you're not an ezrach, so you're not someone who has been a Jew the entire time, you're a ger or you're a katan shenis gadol, then you're allowed to build the sukkah b'chol shalmoed. V'rabbanan kivin shamar osin sukkah b'chol shalmoed loisra kra. The rabbanan don't need the pasuk to tell me that a ger or a katan shenis gadol could build the sukkah b'chol shalmoed, because the rabbanan hold everybody's allowed to build the sukkah b'chol shalmoed. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that these unique circumstances you can build the sukkah b'chol shalmoed. Tan rabbanan ma'isim Rabbi Loi shalach lakul pri Rabbi Lezer belud beregel. Rabbi Loi once went to be makul pri Rabba of Rabbi Lezer in Lud on Yom Tov. Samalo Eloi incha mi shov se'a regel. So he said to him that you're not. Rabbi Lezer was the Rebbe. So Rabbi Lezer said to the Talmud, to Rabbi Loi, you're not among those who treat Yom Tov properly. Shei Rabbi Eliezer Omer, because Rabbi Lezer shita was mishabeach anias hatzlan shein yosim v'tem beregel, that I praise the people who act in a lazy way, who don't leave their homes on regel. That you're supposed to be with your family on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to leave your sukkah on Yom Tov, so you shouldn't be makbel pnei rabo beregel. That in Orchos Sadikim, in the Shara Atzlanos, he points out, Shara Atzlos, he says that very often people think that Atzlos is always bad. No, every midah has a bad and a good. That sometimes Atzlos doesn't mean that you are, it doesn't mean that someone is lethargic. It means that someone is not being proactive. So sometimes you're supposed to be proactive, and sometimes you're not supposed to be proactive. So that's what Rabbi Lezer is saying. What, he thinks that Atzlus is a good midah? It's a terrible midah. But in certain circumstances, a person is supposed to sit back and is not supposed to be proactive. So says Mar Eini, is that really so? Vam Rabbi Yitzchak, minayin shchayv adam lakul pnei rabba beregel. How do I know that there is a chiyuv to go visit your Rabbi on Yantiv? Shneamar, madua atalecha se lavayom, lo chodesh velo Shabbos. Because the Pasuk says that the man said to his wife, why are you going today to visit the Navi? It's not Chodesh or Shabbos. Mechal, the Chodesh or Shabbos, Mechayiv in the Shach Pulei Ape Rabbe. But it sounds like, had it been Chodesh or Shabbos, you'd have a Chiyuv to go visit your Rabbi. So how could Rabbi Eliezer criticize Rabbi Eli for coming to visit him on Regel? What do you mean, criticize? It's a mitzvah. He has an obligation to visit his Rabbi on Yom Tov. So lo kasha, hada'az v'lasav yomei, hada'az v'lasav yomei. It all depends whether you can make it back in time. If you can't make it back in time, if you can be with your wife and have a Sudas Yom Tov with your wife, and then also go visit your Rebbe, because your Rebbe lives in the same city, that's great. But if you can't do both, then the family wins. Then you don't go visit the Rebbe. So the Aruch Lener raises the question: why does Rabbi Yitzchak say the Chiyuv is Beregel? Meaning there's a famous Kasha on this Drasha, right? Madua Atalachziyom Lo Shabbos Lo Chodesh. Why are you going? It's neither Shabbos nor Chodesh. That you have to visit on Regel. No, Mikan that you have to visit on Shabbos and Chodesh. So he says, based on the Ritva, that Shabbos and Chodesh, you have to be Makbel Rabbo only betoch ha-tchum, b'chol ha-moed, even outside of the Tchum. And he says, the Ritva wants, when the Ritva says that, he's being miyashid this kasha. That's why he says that there's a Chiyuv Yoser, even Chutz l'tchum. But there's a Chiyuv to visit even Chutz l'tchum. But how did Rabbi Yitzchak know this Chiddush? Meaning, it's a nice idea that on Shabbos and the Chodesh if the Rebbe lives close by, and if he doesn't live close by, I don't know what to do. How did he know that it necessarily means the regel? So he says the raya is from what the Shunama said, Arutza ad Isha Elokim va'ashuva, that she said to her husband that normally I go to the Isha Elokim and I come back right away. So he said to her, but lo Chodesh Yom v'lo Shabbos Yom. So it sounds like there's no chiyuv on Chodesh Shabbos unless you're able to be va'ashuva. But per regel, the chiyuv is akpalos pnei rabbi kapalos pnei shchina. So it's mitzvah that even chutzlut chum. Others suggest differently that Kabbalah, since you can't have a chiyuv to be makbul pnei rabbi that's greater than the chiyuv of kapalos pnei shchina, as the Debiud explains in the tshuva. So even though it, by rights it would make sense to visit your rebbe every chodesh and every Shabbos, it couldn't have been instituted as a chiyuv to visit a rebbe every chodesh and every Shabbos, because even the shchina you only visit on yontif, you only visit three times a year. So it's got to therefore be that the chiyuv to visit a rebbe is only on regel. So it's a question whether this still applies bizman hazeh when we don't have. That's what the Debiud is coming to explain why people don't do this anymore bizman hazeh to go be at makbul pnei rabbi regel. Says because maybe when there's no longer a chiyuv to be makbul pnei shchina, there can't be a chiyuv to be makbul pnei rabbo either anymore. So Bez Hashem will pick up with Tan Rabbanan with the story of Rabbi Eliezer tomorrow.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you. Thank you very much.